Coming up, another hour of the Great Northern Radio Show from Crosby. It's a production of Northern Community Radio, produced and hosted by Aaron Brown.
Annie Goodwin and Teresa Goodwin. Annie is in eighth grade. Teresa's in fifth grade. Great job. They've been playing for us tonight. This is the Great Northern Radio Show, and I think I wonder how those turtles are doing. Turtles on the face of the earth. You'd never catch me.
Catch you? I'm leading you by two shells.
Are you? Really? Wait, which way are we going?
This way.
Well, I thought the finish line was over there.
No, it's over.
No way.
It's over
this
there.
This isn't fair. We've got to decide on this finish line.
Here. Yes.
It's over there.
Okay.
All right. It's over there.
Turtles. Here's the finish line right
turtles.
Here. It's right
turtles.
Here.
But, all right. Turtles.
Yeah.
Turtles, piano, and turtles. Why don't we just let this one go? I just don't know if we're going to find a result here. But I tell you one thing that will settle this. Olotar.
If I close my eyes and sing, a change occurs inside of me. I'm in a familiar world of songs I knew so long ago. Songs with soothing melodies like air through lungs, wind through trees. I'm a child who freely sings. I'm a child who's called back home. I resonate with the quaking leaves, the rolling cars, the humming world. No other voice is mine until the day I leave this world. But this voice isn't mine alone, for one shapes all as all shape one.
Alotar. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Mayberry Auditorium at Crosby Ironton High School in Crosby, Minnesota. The show is made possible in part by the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Welcome back, Faith Boblette.
We sleep in the same bed, doesn't mean we have the same dreams, doesn't mean we want the same things, it doesn't really mean a damn thing. 'Cause I've had just about enough of you, so sad, there's nothing I could really do. Walking together, it doesn't mean anything like forever. Doesn't really mean it's getting better. You'll say anything you need to say, and I'll take anything I need to take. A grain of salt would be greatly appreciated. Yeah, so tell me.
Boblette and her band. All right. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio, and we're about to welcome the Great Northern Players back on stage to tell about one of the more harrowing times here in the Cuyuna Range area. Bike night.
Good evening, Sally. I didn't think you were coming in tonight.
Well, I couldn't leave you all alone on bike night.
Are we all ready to go?
Sure are. I came in yesterday and restocked the bar, cleaned all the glasses, and scratched the graffiti out of the bathroom.
I appreciate it. You're the best waitress I ever had. Most of them don't last a week in a joint like this.
Well, it takes more than a bunch of hotshot bikers to scare me off.
Listen, Sally, you might not want to be here tonight.
Why?
We might have some trouble.
Oh?
Rumor has it that the two gangs are having some kind of feud. You know Jim Bucknell?
Yeah, he's the one who leads that one gang, what do they call? The Iron Man.
That's right. Jim's gone and taken up with Helen Oakes.
Helen? But ain't she Louie's gal?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, that is trouble. Louie's the leader of the Mountain Riders. I bet he's spitting mad.
I'm worried it might show up here tonight. It ain't a secret that the Iron Men meet here every Tuesday, Thursday, and occasional Saturday afternoons. If Louie brings his gang, things might get rowdy.
None of those tough guys scare me. I keep a pool cue behind the bar for poking the drunks when I get bored. I'm not afraid to crack a couple of heads if I have to.
Yep, looks like they're here. Hey, could you switch the channel? You know they'll want to be watching the Tour de France. Right there. Wow.
And then I said to him, your mother rides a 10-speed.
Hey, pour me a tall one, bartender. Nothing I like more than being back in the bar after a long day of triathlon training.
What can I get for you, Jim?
I'll take a Powerade, the blue kind.
Don't you think you're starting off a little strong, Jim?
Had a long day, swimming in the mine pits, running hills, then biking all the way here from Crosby. An Iron Man's gotta stay hydrated.
Hydration!
You're the strongest and toughest triathlete I've ever met, Jim. Kiss me. Sorry.
Well, I guess I should have taken my helmet off first.
How'd you two get together anyway?
Well, I was trail riding by Floodwood, and I was way out there when it broke down real bad. I blew a tire, my pedal broke, and my gears just locked. I was out there for hours. It was getting dark, and I couldn't get cell reception. And I just started using a new deodorant called Smoky Glaze that made me smell like a honey ham, the prepackaged kind. And it was attracting cougars.
And when I found her, she was trying to fend them off with a bike pump. She was shooting their whiskers with little puffs of air, but it didn't seem to faze them.
Oh, they wouldn't stop licking me. It was terrifying. But then Jim rode in on his 21-speed Windrider, yelling like a bat out of hell and squeaking his bike horn. The cougars got scared, and it gave me enough time to jump on the back of his bike, and we sped away. It was very romantic.
Helen, even if you were a rusted and beaten up frame, I'd still get a chain and ride you.
Aww. Howdy, Jim.
Well, if it ain't Louie and his mountain riders, you got a lot of nerve coming here. This bar's for triathletes only.
Well, that might have been the way it was. But the way I see it, you took something of mine that I loved. And now I figure I get to take something of yours.
Ah, beat it, Louie. I'm with the Iron Men now. They can bike, run, and swim. They don't waste their time on BMX courses. They're real men.
Yeah, sure they are. And if they're real men, they won't back away from a little challenge.
What do you have in mind?
Yeah, we gotta settle up once and for all. Who's the stronger biker gang? Come on, fellas, come on in.
Yeah, I'm coming in here.
Well, I'll be darned. That's a pair of Mach 20 stationary bicycles. I thought they banned those after those two kids got killed.
You seem a little scared, Jim. Care to forfeit?
Be careful, Jim. My cousin had a Mach 20 before they were illegal. She was pedaling when something went wrong, and the whole thing just exploded. She got PTSD from it.
What's that?
Post-traumatic stationary bike disorder.
Now here's the deal. We each get a bike. First rider to hit 10 miles wins the bar.
You're on, Louie.
I don't know how I feel about this, Sally. You think we ought to call the cops?
Heck no! Look at how much Gatorade everybody's drinking. I can put my kid through a day in college with what I'm making tips.
Come on, Jim. Wipe that greasy grin off his face.
2 miles.
Hey, Jim. Why couldn't the bicycle stand on its own?
Oh, cram it, Louie.
It was too tired.
Uh-oh. They're fighting dirty now. Bad jokes are a triathlete's kryptonite.
Hey, Jim, what's the secret to Lance Armstrong's success? he always stayed positive.
Oh, low blow, Louis.
4 miles at 4 miles.
When is a bicycle not a bicycle? When it turns into a driveway.
My God, he's vicious.
Helen, Helen. Hit me with the water. Give me the water bladder.
Sure thing, Jim.
Time for the home stretch.
2 miles left.
You ever had a ghost-proof bicycle? It's got no spokes.
No!
Come on, Jim. You've almost got him. Pedal. 1 mile to go.
I got this. I got to win it. For Helen, for the bar. Just about there.
Jim, are you all right?
I'm fine, Helen. It looks like Louie never did make it on his bike. I don't think he's going to be climbing up any mountains for a while.
I can't figure out how the pedal lodged in the side of his face.
Hey, Jim made it. He hit 10 miles.
Well, I guess I did. Looks like we're staying put. Bartender, pour everyone around. Let's get hydrated.
Hydration!
The Great Northern Radio Players.
Well, since we're talking about the big role that mountain biking has played here in modern life on the Cuyuna Iron Range, who better to invite out here on stage but the president of the Cuyuna Lakes Mountain Bike Crew, another Finn, Aaron Hautala. And a big advocate of everything going on around the Cuyuna, Aaron Hautala, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're one of these guys, these Mesabi guys who ended up on the Cuyuna.
I am. I was exported off of the Mesabi Range in 96. And then I spent some time in Brainerd for a little over 10 years. And about 4 years ago, I was called to the Cuyuna Range. And boy, am I glad I'm here. All right. Very glad.
And you got involved in one of the fastest growing, coolest things going on around here.
Yeah, I'd like to say I was part of its starting, but I wasn't. The mountain bike trails opened in 2011, and I rode for the first time. That was the first time I went on the trails, and I would say myself and a lot of other people, their life changed that day. They hit the trails and they said, really? Wow. And now it's like all day, every day. How can we ride? How can we move these trails forward? How can we bring more people here? How can we use these as an economic driver for the Cuyuna Lakes or Cuyuna Range? It's Cuyuna.
That's right. And the trails have gotten to be a big deal, not just in Minnesota, but far beyond here.
They really have. We just saw an international designation. It was the number 17th ranked trails in the world. And that is pretty cool. And we've heard it before.
I will say that only in Minnesota will number 17 get that amount of applause.
Yeah. But in typical Cuyuna fashion, we want to erase that number 7 in the 17. Let's go for number 1
That's
in the
right.
world.
You're also a guy who knows a lot about what's going on around here. You're active. What's cool? What's going on around the Cuyuna right now?
Well, I think it's just an amazing place to be. I don't care what you do. Everything outdoors. You can kayak. You can geocache. You can be on an ATV, a snowmobile. You got snowshoeing. Everything and anything outdoors. And it's just this amazing opportunity right now where we're discovering who will we be and changing it every day to what this place can be. It's a place of hope, I think.
Absolutely. So what's the unknown secrets of the Cuyuna Range that when people come here to visit, what should they be looking for?
Well, I think right away it's those blue lakes. You got to look for those. The red dirt, obviously, and the one that I'm partial to is the hot sauna.
That's right. And Aaron is the photographer for The Opposite of Cold.
That's correct, yeah.
The greatest sauna book ever written?
Let the audience vote on that. I won't say that.
Sounds
arguably
like it, yes.
the most recent greatest book ever written.
All right. Well, thanks for being here and talking about the Cuyuna Range.
Thank you,
Aaron Hautala. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Great Northern Radio Show, Faith Bublett.
Such a long ride home. Forgot it's been far too long. 'Cause ever since I started, I only dream of you.
Solitar. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the people of Minnesota through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are live from Crosby Ironton High School in Crosby, Minnesota for our fall broadcast. Well, on February 5th, 1924, one of the darkest days in the history of the Cuyuna Iron Range and the state's whole mining industry took place. Here to tell that story is a historian who has studied this day for many years. Welcome back, historian Pam Brunfeld.
It was a dark day. It was early in February. It was cold. And it was near the end of the shift, 15 minutes before the shift ended. And all of a sudden, the shriek of the mine's whistle echoed out across the Milford Mine location. Something bad had happened. People tore towards the mine. They knew something was up. The whistle didn't go off. Down below, there was chaos. George Butkovich, who had been working in the mining room number 13, came tearing down the drift towards the pump station. When he reached Emil Kainu, he stopped and he told him that the lake, Lake Foley, had dropped into the mine and the flood was going to be reaching them soon. Emil Kainu immediately began climbing up the ladder towards the shaft collar. Butkovich couldn't follow him. He was all done in. He was exhausted from the run. One level up, young Frank Havarten Jr., 15 years old, looked down the raise where he had been dumping ore, and he saw the water rising. He yelled, "Run!" He ran for the shaft ladder. Five other men joined him. Seven men started up towards the top of the shaft. They climbed as fast as they could. The last man got out of that shaft, wet to the waist. Water reached to within 15 feet of the collar. The dark, gray, muddy water was swirling as those men climbed out of the collar. One of the women who lived in the Milford mine location came running up and she tried to throw herself into the water. She couldn't. 41 men died within 15 minutes when that lake fell in. It was a terrible tragedy, but what was worse was that 75 young children were left without a father, and the state of Minnesota only compensated those families for about $7,800 over a 7-year period. Men earned more than $20 a week, but not one of those families earned more than $20 from that compensation fund. The city rallied to their aid, helped pay off mortgages, and donated money, but the tragedy was terrible. The last body was removed from the mine almost 9 months to the day, and he was brought to the surface, Arvid Lefty. It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. The mining company was blamed, but an investigation pretty much proves that they could not have foreseen what happened. It was one of those unforeseen tragedies, and it still scars this town to this day. It's the 90th anniversary next year. At 2:45 on February 5th, let's all stop and remember the 41 men who died down there that day.
This is a story about Peter Magnich and his wife, Milka. They lived in Cuyuna, and Peter was a miner. An immigrant miner, he had a young wife, 5 children and 1 on the way. He kissed her goodbye as he went out the door, left for the job that day. A cold wind blew on that winter morn, with lunch pail clutched in his hand. Peter walked to the gate of the Milford mine. He was a hard-working family man. He came from afar to forge a new life across the wide rolling sea. Left his mother and daddy and family new for the land of the brave and the free. Little did he know his journey that day to the mine that lay between two lakes. He and 40 other ore-grubbing souls were on the last ride they ever would take. 48 souls took a ride down the cage in the winter of 1924, heading way down in the Milford Underground, grubbing for Cuyuna iron ore. 41 men on a winter afternoon went to a cold water grave. When the mud and the slime had filled up the mine, only 7 lucky souls escaped. Down in the mine with his pick in his hand, 165 feet below, the wind rushed in and the lamps went out. Poor Peter had nowhere to go, trapped in the dark as water rushed in, sinking and going nowhere. There wasn't enough time to call for the cage. The 41 men were buried there. Was it fate or bad fortune, as some might say? So late in that gloomy, tragic day, only 15 minutes for quitting time, Grim Reaper came looking their way. Each second these men put their lives on the line, wearing down their backs and their hands, earning every penny just a company slave, helping to build our land. 48 souls took right down the cage in the winter of 1924, heading way down in the Milford Underground, rubbing for Cuyuna North. 41 men on a winter afternoon went to a cold water grave. When the mud and the slime had filled up the mine, only 7 lucky souls escaped. In the blink of an eye, the mud and the slime that rushed in from nearby Foley Lake left 31 women to fend on their own, from children their fathers take. The very last words on that cold winter morn, Peter heard his lover say, Peter, oh Peter, I had a dream last night. Oh, Peter, stay home today. 48 souls took right down the cage in the winter of 1924, heading way down in the Milford Underground, rubbing for Cuyuna iron ore. 41 men on a winter afternoon went to a cold water grave. When the mud and the slime had filled up the mine, only 7 lucky souls escaped. 7 lucky souls escaped. 7 lucky souls escaped.
That's Dave Peterson, the song of his about that day. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Some of you have listened to our little show grow up from its debut 2 years ago and know that a big part of our sound comes from our piano player, Nikolai Koivunen. Nikolai is from Zim, kind of, like me.
And Hibbing originally,
Hibbing,
like Sarah.
Then Zim, right. Mm-hmm. Then I was Zim, then Hibbing. That's how that goes. A construction laborer by trade, builds structures and roads with the same fluency as notes and musical phrases. I love having Nikolai in the show because every time I call him for a show, he's doing something unusual. One time he was building a sauna. One time he was going to blow stuff up for the railroad. One time he was putting flowers on a grave. And this time I call him up and you were down a manhole.
You go to the bathroom and we'll take it from there. That's our motto.
Well, it's all very interesting to me. I'm not a musician. Not a successful one anyway. So
noted.
Noted, yes. So Nikolai, I think what people want to know is, how do you remember all those notes and riffs on the keys that you do for our show?
Well, you need to learn the key notes.
What are the key notes?
D-A-B-D-A. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
What?
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
Aren't those the 5 stages of grief?
They are, but in our case here, I call it Aaron Brown's daily grind.
What do you mean? What does that mean in our case?
Anger.
No, I'm not angry.
Denial.
I'm not.
Denial.
Okay, well, maybe I'm a little angry, but only because this show is running a little long and we're wondering how to fit it all in there.
Bargaining.
Well, if we hadn't spent so much time on the turtles.
Somebody's bargaining.
Well, we should have known. Turtles are slow.
Anger.
And you should know better, too.
anger.
For the last time, I'm not angry.
Denial.
I just wish that something would go my way, you know?
That's depression.
I just wish the actors would quit fighting and be nice to each other and...
Depression.
You know, my sons won't even watch football with me. They think it's boring. You know, what kind of father am I? Can't even watch the Vikings lose with my sons.
Cheer up, Charlie Brown. You just have to take it a day at a time, look at your life, and accept it.
Accept that I'm a mid-level radio host whose children choose not to watch football on their own accord.
Accept it.
Well, you know what, Mr. Doubting Thomas? I don't have a problem at all. I think my life is just fine, and that you made all this up just to make yourself feel better for your own life.
Denial.
Really?
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, and that's how the music gets made.
Nikolai Koivunen, everyone. This is the Great Northern Radio Show. Welcome back, Olutar.
Hello, ihmisen huulinen ja murheinen, se on vain väliaikainen. Ilon hetki, myös helkyvi riemuinen, se on vain väliaikainen. Tämä elo, me riemu ja rikkaus, sekä rinnassa riehuva rakkaus ja pettymys. Tymys tuo totta tosiaan, väliaikaista kaikki on vaan. Our life with its worries and misery is as short as a summer's night. The moments of happiness cease to be like a bird flying out of sight. All the ways of life with their joy and pride, the love that burns somewhere deep inside, our broken dreams, our hopes so high, they are all only passing by. That comes from the fairest flower disappears with the winds of fall. And the sweet days of youth only last 1 hour, then they're gone from us once and for all. All the charms you find in your dearest one, all that tender beauty will soon be gone. All the days you smile and the nights you cry, they are all only passing by. Tämä elomme riemu ja rikkaus, sekä rinnassa riehuva rakkaus. Ja pettymys tuo totta tosiaan, väliaikaista kaikki on vaan.
Olutar. Thank you. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I want to give one last thank you to the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota for their longstanding support of our program and the people of Minnesota who have helped make this show possible through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been an honor to be here in Crosby tonight. We've enjoyed it. The people have been nice. And I'm not just saying that. You've been nice to a degree that I cannot properly describe. It is a niceness that is unmitigated kindness that flows, and it's almost alarming.
Let's not overdo it.
No,
here.
I am not kidding. From the moment we arrived in town, it has been over the top niceness from the people of Crosby, Ironton, Deerwood, and surrounding area.
Thank you all very, very much.
Yes,
Minnesota, nice. Yeah.
Now, for me, it's kind of a homecoming. I didn't grow up in this area, but my family has a history here. You know, 100 years ago when all the mines were running full bore and all the red ore days, miners, immigrants would be moving from town to town, from range to range. It's not uncommon to find stories of families that were on the Vermilion Range, the Mesabi Range, Cuyuna Range, maybe making a rotation, wherever the work was. And that was my family's story, too. And in the 50s, my great-grandfather, grandfather, and dad were all here. My dad was a baby. But my great-grandfather and grandfather closed one of the last underground mines in the Pennington Pit area, and they actually had a mine that they think, family legend states, that it was called the Brown Mine. We don't know. My great-grandfather had an interest in the mine, and he and my grandfather worked there in the underground, one of the last ones that ran around here, and when it finally did collapse, fortunately no one was hurt, that was it. That was the end of the underground mine. So it's a time of, these stories are like mysteries. And there's a picture on my wall in my office at home. It's my great-grandfather, family called him Poppy, holding my dad as a baby. And my dad has pulled his comb out of his work shirt and is waving it around with a kind of a mysterious look, like, what is this thing? And so much of, well, any family's history, especially on the ranges, especially when the generations change the way they have in the last 100 years of the Iron Range, we have to unwrap our fathers and mothers' mysteries. We have to understand this world that came before us. And it was very different than the one we're in now. And the biggest example I can think of is a little boat. I have a boat story. When my grandfather and great-grandfather were here in Crosby, my great-grandfather bought a mining executive's nice little wooden speedboat. They sailed it across, moved it across Serpent Lake with a boat lift, floated that across. And this boat was in our family for a very long time. It was one of those things, though, where it was fine so long as the boat never touched lake water. You know, because it was wood. You understand, boats were wood then. And it's a little like, I'm trying to think of a way to put this, but what if you went into your grandma's house or something and found her best piece of antique furniture, like a chiffon robe or something really nice, finished up, real pretty, put a motor on that, and take it around the lake a few times. Now put it back in Grandma's house and pretend like nothing happened. Okay, how long could you do that before Grandma would notice? You know, you probably couldn't do it for very long, and that was the story. You could do it for 3 generations, though, which is how long this boat made it, until eventually we had to give up on the hull, and Dad stripped the parts off and made a new boat out of a fiberglass hull that looked just like it. And ladies and gentlemen, that boat has ended up somehow in my garage. up north, near the Mesabi Range where I live now, and in Itasca County, I have a boat that I do not fully understand how to start or operate or maintain properly.
And it could be yours for 4 easy payments of $19.95.
I won't be doing that, but it's this mystery. And how do we get this thing going? I know it could go. I could make it go. But it's one of these things we have to figure out in life. What do we do with the boat in your garage that represents 4 generations of your family's history that you cannot access? Take a picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nikolai's really sentimental. He's a real sentimental guy. Well, anyway, thank you all for being here. It's good to be home in Crosby, home for my family anyway, and glad to be here with a great local talent, Dave Peterson.
My lady knows how to chase the blues away. Her kind of loving gonna make my day. From early morning till the dark of night, my sweet lady, she just treats me right. My lady, she's always good to me. Yeah, my lady, she's always good to me. I heard an ugly rumor just today. It came to my ears in the usual way. Somebody talking about moving on it, saying my lady I'm looking again. My lady, she's always good to me. Yeah, my lady, she's always good to me. Somebody said my girl been messing around. Somebody spreading it all over town. I don't believe what they're saying is true. Someone trying to make me feel blue. My lady, she's always good to me. Yeah, my lady, she's always good to me. So I asked my lady, is it true what they say? With no hesitation, she said, no way. Some jealous guy, he'd been out and running round, flapping his big mouth all over town. My lady, she's always good to me. Yeah, my lady, she's always good to me. My lady knows how to chase the blues away. Her kind of loving always makes my day. From early, early morning till the dark of night, my sweet lady, she just treats me right. My lady, she's always good to me. Yeah, my lady, she's always good to me.
Dave Peterson. You can catch him all over central and northern Minnesota. Check out his music. This is the Great Northern Radio Show. We want to bring out our starlet for one more song. Here's Faith Bublette. And Faith, your new album is out. It's Oil and Water, right?
Yes.
And you, people should buy that, right?
Yes, I have it with me today. Or you can buy it online.
Yeah, excellent. And tell me, Faith, a little bit about your band.
Sure. To my right, to your left, and to your ears, Jim Greedle on the lead guitar. On the drums, Noah Levy. And this guy, this is my dad, named Paul. Paul Boblett. And thank you so much. This song is called Conversation Piece.
Should I be honest? Baby, tell me now, or are you just stuck up in
great way to start a conversation. Blood is rushing to your face. I can tell you're shaking. Thanks for having us.
The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio. The show is made possible by support from the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. You can hear our show on independent public radio stations. Find our podcast at kaxe.org. Our stage director is Shelley Hansen. Broadcast audio production by the greatest engineering team in the world, Dan Howe, Chris Juleson. Post-production by Charlie Polkerbeck. Program director at Northern Community Radio is Heidi Holton. Thanks to the staff of Northern Community Radio and Crosby Ironton High School, the people of Crosby and Ironton. The show is written by Matt Nelson, Nikolai Koivunen, and myself. I'm Aaron Brown. Thanks to our musical guests, Olatar, Dave Peterson, Faith Boblett and her band. All the students here at Crosby Ironton High School, John Stockman and his sister Emma, our house keyboard player Nikolai Koivunen, Annie and Teresa Goodwin, the Great Northern Radio players tonight, CJ Anderson, Nancy Waller, Britt Amott, John Bjorkquist, Scott Hansen on sound effects, Erica Coda. Erica's our new associate producer as well. Thanks to our guests, Pam Brunfeld, Aaron Hautala, and Kristen Wisely. Our next show will be December 14th, 2013, from the Boston Library Arts Theater in Boston, Minnesota. Thanks for listening to the Great Northern Radio Show. Thank you, Crosby, Ironton, the Cuyuna Iron Range. Good night. One more song from our friends, Olatar.